Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studios.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I'm D. We've got a great show for you tonight. Darren Peterson will only visit the Wizards because he has a lot to say. The Golden Knights fall to the Hurricanes in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup. And Danny Butler joins us on the in route. But we begin today's show with, well, the NBA playoffs are finally over. As a dreadful playoff run is gone, the finals were interesting. The New York Knicks are NBA champions for the first time in 53 years. And this is a New York show, so we're very excited and very happy for the New York Knickerbockers. But Z, where does this team rank compared to the last 8 NBA champions?
So let's talk about it. What criteria are you using? How are you assessing these teams, right? Where does it rank? If it's overall talent, I'm not sure if it's top 5. Like, we don't, right? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a Giannis here, like on the 2021 Bucks. You don't have Steph Curry, like on the Warriors. You don't have
one in 22.
Yeah. You don't have Tatum and Brown. You don't have SGA, Chet.
That team got COVID. The Golden State Warriors won without Kevin Durant. Yep. Kevin Durant showed up, they won, and then he left and they won again.
Yes, that indeed they did. it goes to show you, like, sometimes aging treachery wins.
So great.
They don't even, I mean, I would say if you were just doing this on talent, I'm not even sure. I mean, I would say that Kawhi and Van Fleet might be better than them. The 2019
might be
Raptors,
better than who?
The 2019 Raptors might be better than this Knicks squad if we're talking about talent. Maybe debatable. It's an argument, right? Bubble championship? No, I'm not even talking about the bubble championship.
That's like the bottom. They're on the bottom.
They're the worst. No. The bubble championship is the worst. Like, I think that, you know, regardless of criteria, the bubble championship is the worst. If we're talking about story, if we're talking about, you know, drama, if we're talking about years upon decades, right? If we're talking about Patrick Ewing, if we're talking about the ghost of 99, where they lost coming out of the lockout, the 8th seed gets all the way to the finals, they get smacked down by David Robinson and Tim Duncan, to that 54 win team with Jason Kidd that did Ugats, right, to the list of all the veteran players that have run through this organization, from Amari Stoudemire to Eddie Curry to Stephon Marbury to Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady.
Like, dude, like, all Penny Hardaway at the tail end of his career. Like, think about all of the greats, the goods, and downright awfuls that have worn a Knick jersey since, just in our lifetime. That's been pretty fucking bad. If that's the story that you're selling, the Knicks have to be at the top based on the story. Because the Oklahoma City Thunder, the three-headed young monster who were just, you know, unbeatable. Okay, that's okay. It doesn't really do much for you. The Tatum and Brown finally fulfilling their promise. Jokic and Murray in 2023. Not much of a story there. Good team. Good players. not much in the way of the story, right? I would say the old gunslingers in 2022, can they do it again? Can you get it together for one last ride?
The 2022 NBA Finals featured the Golden State Warriors returning to the finals against the up-and-coming Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm. So that's a story, right? Age and treachery versus youth.
I'm going along with what you're pushing here.
If we're going on storyline,
uh-huh.
It's either the Knicks not having won for 53 years, or can this Golden State Warrior team, who hadn't been there, who are getting old, questions start to abound. Can they do it? Kevin Durant leaves. Can they do it? Can they keep going? And all of a sudden, yeah, they do. They do.
Okay.
So the Raptors, this team that has never sniffed the finals, right?
Oh, the Raptors story was a fucking great Raptors story.
Raptors story,
remember? Because remember, the Spurs fucking trade Kawhi there. Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to be there.
They beat the 76ers with his shot in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins the first championship for the Toronto Raptors ever. And who knows if they'll ever win again.
First and maybe last. And then he goes to the Clippers. Yes, yes. So those three, if we're talking story, those three are up there.
Okay.
And again, the bubble over here, it's gone. Who gives a shit about the bubble?
Right.
So on criteria of story alone, just because of the losing streak, the years of heartache and the years of mediocrity and the years of being one of the laughing stocks of the league. Because, hey, the Knicks can't get anything right. How many years did we hear that? Oh, Larry Brown's going to be the guy to do it. Oh, Lenny Wilkins is going to be. Phil Jackson is going to run the front office. He's going to bring in Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose, and they're going to do it. You know, Derek Fisher, Kurt Rambis. Jesus Christ. Like, I'm having PTSD just thinking about all the crap that we've had to watch coming out of Madison Square Garden. So they have to be top three, and depending on what you feel about it and your level of wistfulness and historian nature, you might be able to pull it off at number one.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. As far as story, yeah, I could say the top four. I was looking at the question more of like a champion. Like when I look at the team, the dynamics of this team, their makeup and what they did and who they beat and what they overcame, how good are they? You know? So just so everybody knows what we're talking about, we've got the 2019 Toronto Raptors, we've got the 2020 Lakers bubble, 2021 Milwaukee Bucks, 2022 Golden State Warriors, 2023 Denver Nuggets, 2024 Boston Celtics, 2025 Oklahoma City Thunder, and then you have your New York Knicks. So in me ranking them, I have them towards the bottom, quite honestly. The Lakers, the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto at 7. Then I have the Knicks at 6. At 5, I have the Milwaukee Bucks because that team... That team was just fucking ready. Bobby Portis and Giannis was all world that year. Nobody's stopping Giannis that year. Sorry. I don't even like the guy, but that was it. The MVP, he was that year. Number 4, I have the Golden State Warriors, and it was just unbelievable how they were able to get back to the finals in 2022 and beat a young, up-and-coming Tatum and Brown Celtics team. Unreal. Fucking unreal. And they did it with their OGs. They did it with Clay, mm-hmm. Curry, and what's his name?
Green.
Yep. Unbelievable. So number 3, I actually have that Boston Celtics team because that Boston Celtics team loses to Golden State, loses in 23, and then wins in 24. So I have them at number 3. Number 2 is the Nuggets. I'm not just saying this because they won me $2,000. I'm saying it because that team reminded me a lot of the Bucks team. There's nobody beating that team. Like, Joker was all world. Jamal Murray was healthy, fast. hitting threes from the logo. Like, and then they had, what's his name? Aaron Gordon was just dunking on everybody, shooting threes. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, what is happening? And they doused, I believe, the Miami Heat in five games. Dunzo. And then to me, number one is the Oklahoma City Thunder. What they did last year, as young as they were. Remember, we always talk about teams paying their dues. That team didn't pay their dues. They got young, they got there, and they won. Then he's the MVP last year. He was the MVP this year. He's a great player. I don't know. I'm not taking anything away from the Knicks. This was the Knicks' year. I just don't know if the Thunder made it, if the outcome would have been the same. Now, the Knicks maybe would have still won. It might have taken them an extra game or two. But it was a different style of play, right? It was a different style of play. And you would have been playing against a champion. The champion would have been down two of their best players. But I think it would have been a much more competitive series. And I'm not saying the Knicks wouldn't have won or not, but I just think it would have been more competitive. This was not a competitive series. I said it from Jump Street, it was going to be in four games. It was in five. It really should have been four, but Donald Trump messed that up. But yeah, they couldn't hold a lead. They couldn't make clutch shots. They had no answer for Jalen Brunson. Their best player during the series was Harper, and he would get tired. You noticed it. He got tired. He got to the point where he would do all these great things and score, and then they're throwing him the ball again. He's like, man, I can't. He's throwing the bag. He's like, I can't go again. And then they're trying to make him shoot threes. He's not a three-point shooter. He's like, get me out. I'm tired. Like, he just would get tired. Missing layups. He was missing layups. And De'Aaron Fox, God. Get out of here.
Awful.
I would have traded him on the way home. Like, good Lord, you were terrible. Missing layups, missing pull-ups, throwing the ball out of bounds. Like, what are we doing?
Question.
What did you play for Kentucky? Where did you play?
My question for you. You have a lead. You have the ball. Why aren't you dribbling out the clock?
I don't know.
Dribble out the clock. But
to his defense, it's a layup. Z, it's a layup. I mean, and it's a left-handed layup. He's left-handed. It's a left-handed layup. He did get fouled, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Make the fucking layup. Dunk the basketball if you can.
But you have a lead.
Yes, yes, like, I agree with you. But I'm just trying to say, like, I get where he was coming. I get where he was coming from, because he could have put it to 3 points and really put it away. But he's an idiot. And he's supposed to be a veteran. He's been around for a long time. He's been around for at least 8 years now.
He's the veteran. The other veterans didn't play. Kelly Olynyk didn't play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just
yeah, no. Like,
just it was very poor play. You kind of knew this thing was over when they blew that huge lead that they had. I believe it was in game four. Right, it was game four, right? Mm-hmm. Where they had the
29 points.
They scored 76 points at half before the half.
Yep.
That's just stupid. And then even in that final minute, seconds of that game when OG does the tip-in, who the fuck is boxing out OG? Who's
Nobody.
Boxing out the inbounder? You literally have these conversations during the timeout. Okay, we're not going to guard the inbounder, but after he inbounds the ball, you're responsible for boxing him out. Where the fuck was the guys to box him out?
Game five, you're just about to lose, right? Why are you playing five high? Wemby takes a three.
Oh, yeah.
Who was getting the rebound?
But why? Why are you taking threes? You're 7-3. Get under the basket and dunk it on somebody.
Right.
What are we
doing? He wants to be Dirk.
I don't know
so
if he wants to be Dirk.
Mad.
I think with him, a lot of it is he doesn't want the physical contact. He doesn't want to get in there and scrum it. Think about it. He's French. I'm not saying he's soft, but he's like fondue. He's like cheese, you know?
He's melting.
I just think he... It's easier for me to stand at the three-point line and shoot a contested three-pointer than mix it up with Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns, an OG and an OB underneath the basket. That's just what it is, just a mentality thing.
And he was getting worked by Jalen Brunson, too. Like, Jalen Brunson had a willingness to drive to the basket, and he wore down the Spurs, right?
He wore down for sure. No. He did. Listen, I'm going to say it again. The Knicks won this series.
Yes, the Spurs played
terribly, but you can't take away what the Knicks were able to do. The way they came back in every single game, and they played as a team. This team doesn't even know who to pass it to after they get the rebound. He's dribbling at the court, and Fox is like, all right, you're dribbling it up. I'm going to turn and run. And then you throw it. Oh, Castle. Castle's like, all right, you're going to dribble it up. I'm going to turn and run. And then all of a sudden the ball hits his back. He's like, what are you doing? I thought you were dribbling it up the court. Like, how much further were you going to dribble before you're going to pass me the fucking basketball?
And how much of that...
He's another guy that had a terrible game. He only had, like, 5 points in games. Like, dude, it's game fucking five. You're about to get eliminated.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Dunk the basketball. The refs were terrible, too. I'm not one to blame the two refs, but Castle got really beat up on a lot of plays, and they did not call fouls for him. You know, not again. That wouldn't have changed the outcome of the series, but...
You know, but, you want to talk about officiating?
The officiating was terrible because, really, he should have got flagrants. He should have got flagrants. He should have been thrown out. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have been able to play game five or game six.
Yeah.
When you think about it. He's a dirty player, but I think a lot of that was frustration. He was frustrated, but... You know, he's a kid. That's the other thing. You got to give him a break, I guess. He's a kid. He still has a lot of maturing and learning to do. But, dude, you got to grow up. This is the NBA, and you can't act like a thug, because he started acting like a thug towards the end.
He channeled his inner Bruce Bowen, and there's a reason why you don't do that. There's a reason why you don't stick your foot under a guy as he's following through in a shot.
That's not cool.
No, that's not cool at all. And hopefully,
cool, bro.
And this falls, like stuff like that, falls on Mitch Johnson. Like, as the coach, you got to rein this shit in.
I have to believe that Mitch said a lot of things and they didn't listen. I don't think Mitch is incompetent, because they made him look incompetent as a coach.
Mm.
And I doubt he is. I think he is a very good coach, and I don't think they listened to him. I don't think they listened. There's no way he's telling them to keep pulling up threes when you're up by 40.
No fucking way.
He's not going to do that. He's not. I'm just telling you, like, cut to the basket.
Yeah.
Get the rebound. Stop fouling. Make your fouls. They're missing foul shots.
Yeah.
Wemby missed two foul shots. They're missing clutch foul shots.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
So despite outplaying the Knicks in every game of the series, the Spurs lost in five games. Spurs blew multiple double-digit leads and just could not stave off the Knicks during fourth quarter runs. Everyone says the Spurs are super talented and will win multiple championships. Like you said, if the Knicks lost this year, they make the right adjustments and they'll be back in the finals. So, what adjustments do they need to make to get back to the finals next year?
So, let's talk about that. Well, what were the glaring holes here? Like, Wemby constantly living at the three-point line. So, where's your size? At the three-point line. You need more size. You need better size down low. You need a guy because you're not going to trade Wemby. You're not going to do that. You invested in him, right? You're building a team around him, but you need a guy who's willing to be down there, down low, to muck shit up, because it doesn't look like Wemby wants to be that guy. You need more reliable point guard play. You need better shooting. You need a steadying hand when things get rough, because you need that veteran presence to say, take a deep breath. Calm the fuck down. We're up by 29. Put your foot on their neck and choke them out. Because there is no reason that a team in the NBA Finals blows that lead. There is no reason other than they panicked. They panicked. The moment got too big and they collectively shit their pants. You can't have that. That also falls on coaching, right? To a little bit. You have to, you know, call some timeouts. You have to make some substitutions. You need to figure some stuff out. Now, I really don't know who they can replace Mitch Johnson with if they want to replace Mitch Johnson. I don't think that's the move, right? The same reason why the Celtics didn't fire second row Joe. And then what happened? Second row Joe became championship Joe. So You gave him the job for the reason, right? You gave him a job because you think he's capable of doing it. In terms of guys who will bring veteran grit and toughness to this team, it may sound crazy, but I'm calling the Warriors and I'm seeing what they want for Draymond Green. I'm willing to ask. I'm willing to see if they would be willing to move on from him, because he's the guy. He's a grit sandpaper guy, right? We're going to talk about hockey, grit and sandpaper guys, right? It's a mix of talent and a mix of grit. You need guys on the team that are going to get in the trenches, right? That's what made Dennis Rodman so effective for the Bulls, a willingness to get down and dirty. So I think Draymond Green would be an interesting addition. I don't know what it would cost. Hopefully just De'Aaron Fox. You shoot that motherfucker in the moon.
Like, you first and Keldon Johnson.
Oof. Oof. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. That's going to cost you.
That's tough. So if you're willing to spend that, you have...
Would you be?
I might be willing to. I might be willing to. So it depends on if I think my window is now. And I think, you know, if you're making that move for Draymond Green, it's 1 to 2 years. It's either this coming season or the season after that. You don't have much time with him. So it might be worth a shot. For point guard, I know you love Ja. I don't trust Ja. Like, I used to think Ja in San Antonio would be good, but I just don't trust his head. I just don't trust where his head's at sometimes. And I think he would do something stupid. I think he would do something stupid and cost his team. But I can't identify that point guard. I don't know who it would be. I know, like, I speculated Kyrie, but that's a pipe dream. I doubt that would happen. So, and Ja would cost you too, because you're talking about the franchise player on the Grizzlies. Like, that's going to cost you something too. But they definitely need a guy down low. They need to build more veteran presence around Wemby. Another year of seasoning for Harper, another year of seasoning for Castle, another year for Champagny.
Hold on. So before you just anoint that those are decisions they have to make. Vassell's due a new contract. Champagny's due a new contract. Carter Bryant and Keldon Johnson.
So I think
you can't keep all four of them. Probably keep two.
All right, then you're probably going to keep Vassell, and you're probably going to keep Castle.
No, Castle's okay.
Castle's good.
It's Champagny, Vassell, Johnson, and Bryant.
Well. If Johnson's
Stephon is going to have to extend.
You're going to have to pay him.
You're going to have to pay him. That's why I'm saying you can't keep all four of those guys.
So if I'm going to trade Johnson, if I do that deal that you mentioned, right? If I move Johnson for Green, then I'll keep Champagny and I'll keep Vassell. I think I would go with those two.
And let Brian go.
Yeah, I think I would have to go with those moves if I'm using Johnson to get Draymond Green.
Keldon Johnson was plus 17 in game 5, by the way. I like Keldon Johnson. I think he's good. He's aggressive. He's just not polished. That's okay. You know, to me, Fox has got to go.
What do you
think? Vassell's got to go. Vassell is minus 11. I like Champagny. He reminds me of, like, Sean Elliott. He reminds me of, like, a dead knockdown shooter. He's a St. John's guy. He can stay. I think they can get better through the draft. I think if they get this kid from... Where's he from? Stanford? Where is he from? Where'd you go to college, boy? Santa Clara? Allen Graves? Get him. He's a power forward. Average 12 points a game. He can shoot the three. Bring him in. Let him play power forward. That's what I would do. And I like the idea of getting Ja. Give me a point guard. Stephon Castle is not a point guard, unfortunately. He can't run the point. He can't distribute the basketball. he's a good shooter and he can get to the basket, but and he plays good defense. But let's be real, the second guy on this team is going to be Dylan Harper.
It's Harper.
Dylan Harper, and it's going to be Dylan Harper and Victor Wembanyama. That's going to be my team. That's going to be my Mac. That's going to be my two guys. So how do I get better around them, really? And that's why Champagne's important, because he's going to knock down threes. That's why Stephon Gasol is good, because he's going to be a good defender. And really, Ja, I'm bringing in to be my point guard to distribute, you know? Yeah, that's it. I am not as optimistic as you are. I think getting back to the finals is incredibly hard. I don't think you don't take those things for granted. Charles Barkley only made it to one. Carmelo and Stockton only went to two. So I just don't think it's a given that they're going to be back. I think Wemby has a lot of stuff to work on as far as fundamentals are concerned, as far as being a professional is concerned. We talked about this on the in route, but my whole thing is like, I don't know if I've ever seen a person go into a series as such like the hero. And then during that series, it switched to him being the fucking villain, where you're committed. Like he was such a heel, right?
Mm-hmm. See?
Like he's committing flagrant fouls. He's complaining to the refs. He's clapping in people's faces, saying, "I'm in your head." He's falling all over the floor. Mm-hmm. Then it's like a typical heel towards the end. He's missing foul shots. He's missing clutch baskets. He's throwing the ball out of bounds. It's all coming apart, and it's everybody else's fault but his. But that's not true, because he did take blame for most of the stuff. But still, he went from babyface to heel in this whole series. And he's supposed to be the future face of the league. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore.
He ran afoul of the media. He ran afoul of fans. He ran afoul of fellow players with his dirty play when he channeled Bruce Bowen. You can't do that shit. The only entity that still sees him in that valuable light is the league. Because there's no reason that Victor Wembanyama should not have been suspended at least once.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, Jalen Brunson received a flagrant, and he didn't even land on the guy. The guy landed on him. And the flagrant was assessed against Brunson.
You know, and he did. You know, and not for nothing, he did play well in Game 5. I'm looking at his numbers now. He was 7-for-19. He was 1-for-6 from 3, 4-for-5 from the free throw line. Only 2 turnovers. Stephon Castle was the eyesore. He was 1-for-10. De'Aaron Fox 3-for-15. For fuck's sake,
Wembanyama's strength.
For fuck's sake,
Wembanyama, his strength is his size and his strength.
1-for-8 from 3. God,
you. 1-of-6. Forget you have a 3-point shot. Forget you have it. Like, work on your low post game. You could, at your size and your skill level, you could fucking dominate in the post. If
all you have to do is turn around and put the ball up and just dunk it. That's all you have to do. You don't really have to do any work, man.
He's got 8-foot wingspan? Like,
you
insane. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be Dirk. You don't have
but
to.
This, but this kind of reminds me of Shaq, right? Remember when Shaq was with Orlando?
Mm.
And then he went to the Lakers, and he was playing, I believe, for Del Harris at the time. And the Lakers got, like, swept, and they had Kobe Bryant, and they got, like, swept by, like, I want to say Houston or something, or maybe even the Spurs, but some bummy teams. Like, how is this possible? How this team with Shaq and Kobe, like, gets swept out of the playoffs, and then here comes Phil Jackson and teaches Shaq, you are the biggest fucking person on this court. You back it up and you dunk on people repeatedly without remorse. And if somebody gives you a hard time, you swing that elbow. Boom. That's it. They ain't gonna give you a hard time anymore. Shaq, you know, people talk about how good Kobe was. No. You go back and watch Hardwood Classics and watch those early years with Shaq and Kobe. Holy shit. Shaq dropping like 34 points and grabbing like 20 boards and still assisting, dishing out 7-8 assists. Yeah. We're like, whoa. There was nobody in the Western Conference that could defend him.
No.
Nobody.
No. But a good big man, right, is so difficult to defend because you are going to get bullied. You're going to get worked and you are going to get worn out. That is what Shaq did. And that's what made Shaq special. Victor Wembanyama has the opportunity to be that. He definitely needs to put on some more size. He's 7'3", what, 270? And he's rail thin. Like, my man...
Wow, is he really 270?
I think he's 270. I think he's billed at 270. So, like, we're talking the big show here. The dude needs to put on some goddamn weight. You know, like, we thought Chet Holmgren was skinny. Like, this dude is skinny. So, hit the weight.
Yeah, you're right. 235.
He's 235. 7 foot, 235. Boom. So, okay. He's a big fucking guy, but he needs to get bigger. He needs to play like a big man. He has this unique skill set that he just needs to hone in. So who's the guy that can teach him that? Right? Spending off season with Shaq.
I like the fact that if you watch his off-season program, he works hard. He works with Navy SEALs. He works with Hakeem Olajuwon. He works with David Robinson. He works with him. He's working with all the right people. So,
And when crunch time comes, where was he? He was hanging out at the three-point line.
Well, he is French.
So.
Oh, so he's hanging out with Tony Parker? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I forgot Tony Parker was French. That's true.
But Tony.
I don't know. Listen, the only defense I'm going to give to him is I'm going to say he is young. So maybe this is something he'll outgrow. Maybe he'll get better in time. But from what I saw in these finals, I was like, you're good. You ain't great. You're not that good. You're letting Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns have their way with you. Like, what the fuck, dude? But I also think it was the style of play. Like, the Knicks style of play was a problem for the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs, the way they like to run their offense, it was hard to do that against the Knicks, which was evident, right? They lost the NBA Cup to them. They lost the only regular season game they played against each other. I just think that an Oklahoma City team would have been a different matchup. It would have been a different game. You know, it would have been just different things would have been happening. You know, it was, you could watch those games, and by game three, you kind of knew, okay, like, it doesn't matter how big the lead is, the Knicks will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's going to happen? Who's San Antonio going to give the ball to? Because you could tell, when we were even in game five, they had the lead up until like the 4 minute mark, then they lost the lead, and then they're passing the ball to each other because nobody wants to be the one that goes and takes the shot. Nobody wanted to be the one to be the reason why we're not going up. And then finally Dylan Harper's like, all right, I'll go to the basket, I'm exhausted, but I'll go. And then he misses a layup,
and then who's waiting
and
then
he
for
misses
him
his jump shot.
Four Knicks down low. The way their system was a problem, that defense, the way they clamped down defensively was a problem for the Spurs.
They just hung around. The Knicks hung around. The Knicks came back. Like, you know, I'm not saying I think the turning point was really in the first fucking game. I mean, they come into your house and your home, you're up, you got all the energy, and you get beat. So it's like, what the hell just happened here? Like, you know, this isn't the way it's supposed to go. And then the third game, they came out swinging, and they were doing really well. And again, that came down to the end of the game, too. So, whatever, it's over. The Knicks deserve it. The Knicks are the champions. The Spurs, they've got a lot of work to do.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
I feel so embarrassed, but I didn't find out until yesterday morning that the Stanley Cup Finals happened, and they're over. The Hurricanes beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0 to close out the series 4-2. Rob Brind'Amour finally has won a championship as a coach. On the other side, Tortorella will not be back next season. The Vegas Knights opting to not have their interim coach or their head coach return that they brought on just for the Stanley Cup. Very odd. So, Z, what are your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals?
A very peculiar contract. The terms were only until June 30th. So, you know, why wait 2 weeks? Just like, Thanks for your service.
Vaya con Dios.
Thank you for your service, Torts. You know, you got this team. You got their head out of their ass under Bruce Cassidy, and you got them all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. And
where they were shut out.
Where they were shut out in the last game by Brandon Bussey. Yes. Not Freddie Anderson, Brandon Bussey. Now, what are we going to remember about the Stanley Cup Finals? Rod Brindamore's balls. Freddie Anderson, who had a 1-1-2 goals against average going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, rather, and you get lit up, right? You could ride with your guy and hope for the best. But no, Rod Brindamore did not do that. He said, I'm making a change. I'm going to the guy, the journeyman, who we claimed off waivers, and let's see what happens. And lo and behold, Brandon Bussey delivered, right? He pitched that shutout, and he was the turning point. It also helped that Taylor Hall started scoring. Jackson Blake started scoring. You started to see slowly but surely that Carolina was starting to take back over again, and their style of hockey was really starting to wear down the Golden Knights. You didn't have that East-West. You didn't have that creativity that you were seeing in the first couple of series and in the first couple of games of the Stanley Cup Finals. You didn't have that open ice. And that first goal, you know, Taylor Hall's goal in Game 6 was on transition. Now it started turning the other way, where Carolina's getting out in transition and they're able to score. Now, take nothing away from Vegas. They weren't supposed to be here. They put up a hell of a fight. Based on the regular season, there's absolutely no indication that they should have been here, right? It took that shot in the arm that was John Tortorella. They knocked off Colorado, but by all intents and purposes, Colorado was the best team in the West, and Vegas just ran right through, swept the fuck out. Carolina had something for Vegas that they weren't ready for, and that level of grinding that we've seen from Carolina that normally gets them beat when they get into the deep water. Didn't happen. Did not happen whatsoever. So, kudos to Carolina. They lost, what, 4 games the entire playoff run? 16-4, I believe. Pretty friggin' impressive. Pretty impressive. Something to hang your hat on, for sure.
Listen, you know, it was a good series, right? I mean, I'm surprised at the outcome. I really thought the Vegas Golden Knights would have forced the Game 7, especially since the Game 6 was in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so impressive how Tortorella was brought in and got them where they need to go. So hats off to management for making that call. I am surprised he's not coming back. It just seems like, why wouldn't you bring him back? He just got you the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, and listen, they were playing Hurricanes tough. They only gave up one goal in each period. It was a 3-0 win. But you said it. It came back to Bussey, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Anderson is a good goalie. He just got tired, and it's okay. And that's why you have this younger guy, this other guy that's on the roster and is ready to be a gamer, ready to play. And I just think that the Vegas Golden Knights met their match. Their magic ran out, and it all happened because of Bussey. Without him, I think Vegas would have took it. And, you know, hats off to Rob, because he's been knocking on this door for how many years now? And he's won as a player, and now he's won as a coach. He knows hockey, man. He just knows hockey, and he has the trust of his players. He has a scheme that is
you know, it's it works. And listen, they had the better show in town. You know, we all watched the NBA Finals, but the Stanley Cup was definitely the better show, especially with these two teams. Yeah, so I think that it was a great final. The two best teams got there. They deserve to be there. And I do think the best team won.
My concern is this, though. We were talking about Brandon Bussey and how well he's been doing. You can't really take that away from him 100%. But the same way that Rod Brindamore put Bussey, right? You could have easily, if you can second guess John Tortorella on this one, because you're looking at 4 goals in game 1, 4 goals in game 2, 4 goals in game 3, 5 goals in game 4, 4 goals in game 5. It, you know, where Brindamore made the move, Torts may have stuck with Carter Hart too long. Because you have Aiden Hill, you have a guy that's delivered you a cup. He's your backup. You have a guy on your bench that has delivered you a cup. So, could you have, you know, stemmed the tide and stopped the bleeding a little bit? Possibly. We'll never know, because that round was left in the chamber. It was not left in the chamber by Rod Brindamore. And
I think Torts was expecting his stars to show out. I think he was expecting Marner and Eichel for these guys to take the series by the horns, score some goals, set the tone, and them too. I just think they got tired. They playing the Carolina Hurricanes,
mm-hmm.
multiple games in between Carolina and Vegas, it's tiring. You get out on the ice and you're like, oh, fuck these guys.
Because mm-hmm.
you know they're not going to stop, and you know they're going to come at you hard.
Exactly.
It's hard. You know?
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard. Herb Brooks said that, right? Mm. So that is a Herb Brooksism, and it rings true. When you're dog tired and you've been beaten down, what do you got left? Carolina had more in the tank. Carolina had more in the reserve. So you can have the top end talent. I won't dispute that Mitch Marner and Jack Eichel are supremely talented. I'd be stupid, right? Dorofeev, Barbashev.
He played like shit.
Supremely talented guys. It's about this time. It really boils down to that grit and sandpaper, and who is going to say, "Not on my watch. We're not losing this fucking game." And Carolina has more of those guys than the Vegas Golden Knights right now. Now, back to the drawing board, though, because they're on yet another coach. Like, this is starting to become a theme for Vegas. And why would a veteran coach go there at this point?
Paycheck?
If I know I'm going to be out in a few months, it's a rental. You know, I'm going to stay in Airbnb. I'm not even going
to
buy a house.
I could get them into playoff contention and then be replaced. Right. Someone's going to get to the Stanley Cup.
Like, is Lou Lamoriello running this team?
You guys still validate?
Yeah. Get out. Get out.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top-notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
All right, moving on to the NBA draft, which is next week. players are going on interviews with team final roundups here, except for Darren Peterson, the Kansas guard. He's meeting with the Wizards today, but he does not plan on meeting with any other teams for the draft. Bold move, Cotton, or short-sighted? The Wizards hold the number one pick in the NBA draft, and it sounds like Mr. Peterson thinks that he is going number one.
I mean, if he thinks highly enough of his work this past year, he did put up in 24 games, he averaged 24-2. Okay. So you figure, is he a point guard in this league? Because Trae Young's on this roster. Trae Young's getting the ball. Like, he is the guy. So I'm not sure where he thinks he's going to get. I don't know where he thinks he's going to get his points from. But, you know, Trae Young is on this roster, and he's going to want that ball. As of right now, Anthony Davis is on this roster. Right? We'll know. We'll see how long that is around. Alex Saar is still there. D'Lo is still there. I mean, you can think very highly of yourself. And as a scorer, he might. But I don't know. It beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And
you're the Utah Jazz.
Are you taking DeBanstev? You're going to take DeBanstev if he's there.
No. The question is, if you're the Utah Jazz and the Wizards take DeBanstev, are you taking Darren Peterson now?
If you feel that he's best player available,
I'm not taking him.
I would take Boozer. I would go Boozer over him.
Oh, fuck him. I'm not taking him. You didn't even come here, dude. Like, you didn't even come here. Why would I take you?
Well, here's the crazy thing. Here's what you could do. You could take him and then trade him. You could do that. Right? That is within the possibility.
Not even going to waste my time, dude. Trade him for what? Why would I take him and trade him? Trade him back? Trade him for what?
You could trade him for other assets, right? Think about, and this is, you know,
this guy, you think he has value if he's telling people he's not going to meet with any other team except for the Wizards?
He thinks highly of his abilities. And you pay him, if you pay him enough money, he will.
So the Utah Jazz draft him. And then they call the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, we got Darren Peterson. Give us number 6 overall, your number 1 next year, and 2 number 2s. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, give it to them. I'll take it.
No.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, who? Maybe the Sacramento Kings? Maybe? Are stupid enough to take this guy?
All I know is that a young Kobe Bryant was once traded for Vlade Divac. So trades like this do happen, right? We've seen Luka get traded for Trae Young. These things
that worked
happen.
Out great for both
teams. Oh, it was atrocious for both teams, but it happened. It happened. So these things do happen. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and money cures everything. If they throw money at him, he will sign it happily. He will sign happily, and he will play his days for whatever team he goes
to. Will he play? He didn't play at Kansas, and they paid him too.
This is the pros. This is what he was going for. He sat out because he was protecting his draft stock. Right?
Oh, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. So now it's the draft. This is why you sat out. This is why you protected yourself. This is why... You
allegedly.
What's the other reason?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like a free paycheck? Eventually that's going to come calling. Eventually you're going to have to play.
He's just practicing being an NBA player.
Eventually you guys sing for your supper. That's how this works. And it's going to come for Trae Young too. Eventually he's going to have to play to earn his keep. Like that, especially for this team. They sat that out. It's just they got
I just
him.
Think it's a poor image for you. You're not Deion Sanders, man. Like, you can't be just saying, oh, I'm not going to fall that far, so I'm not even going to come talk to you. It's not like you had this all-world fucking freshman year where you won the championship or you got to the national title game. Like, first of all, you were checking yourself out of games. You were constantly hurt. Mm-hmm. At least that's what he was telling people. He was hurt. So why is it wrong if I'm the Memphis Grizzlies to be like, yo, come in, let me talk to you, see why you missed all these fucking games in college and why I should potentially draft you? Nah, I'm good. I'm only talking to the Wizards.
So then we expect him to fall. Like, that's what the expectation is at that point.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. So
if he falls, so let's say he falls. So say DiBanza goes one.
Boozer two.
I'd say Boozer two. And then it gets a little hairy. Because if you're Memphis, you don't need this guy. No. And Ja Morant, right?
No.
So you would assume that the Memphis Grizzlies would take Caleb Wilson, guard from North Carolina.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so now the Bulls are on the clock. I mean, they could, right?
Yeah.
I could see them doing it out of desperation because Keaton Wagner, the Bulls don't need a guard. Because, and then if he doesn't go to Chicago, you have LA. Eh, LA might be a good spot for him.
Or,
especially if they're getting ready to get rid of, Kawhi Leonard.
The other thing you could do is if you're Washington, you could still take DeBance to one. And you could possibly move back into the top five and get Peterson. Now you have Peterson and DeBanza to pair with Young and Davis. Or is Davis a guy that's going to get you another top-level pick? You can do this. There are ways to get what you want. And if you want both guys, it'll cost you, but you might be able to do it if you're willing to go fuck them pick.
The Thunder have two picks in the first round. I wonder if they try to move up or if they trade out for next year's draft.
I mean, who would they target? Like, what would...
They don't need anything. Yeah. So I started wondering if you would trade out and be like, for next year.
I think you might be... I think you would be better served doing that if you're Oklahoma City. I don't think anything past the top five, maybe six. You may find a diamond in the rough, but no guarantees on anything. But it is ballsy with Peterson.
Stupid, but ballsy.
It's ballsy. It's ballsy. And
I'm just saying, what arrogance of you. Like, you get why Deion did it, right? You know, Deion was a two-way player. This was a guy that he smelled it. He smelled his own shit and he knew it smelled like roses. Like, you know, he was that guy. He was a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal player. He wasn't sitting on the sidelines, you know, and you come in here and I'm only talking to the Wizards.
But this is part and parcel of sport, the issue in general, right? You've had guys coddled since they were probably in seventh grade. Talk about how special they were. The rules were bent for them in high school, right? Things were crafted in such a way, or they went to these elite academies like Iron. And
sorry about that.
You're all good. No, it models the collapse of youth sports and high school sports. So the hubris is taught from a very young age, because we're identifying talent younger and younger, and we're specializing younger and younger, and we're cultivating and we're creating this culture younger and younger, to where it's not going to surprise me if at some point a high school player is going to be like, fuck this, I got a commitment letter, I'm good. Like, I already committed to Bama. I already committed to St. John's. Like, I'm out, coach. Like, I'm good. But this is where things are going. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And maybe Peterson is the guy that falls to kind of course correct. I don't know that. All I know is that they're always going to try and take best player available. It's always going to be that. And if you value him, you're going to take him. Now, dealing with him may be a headache. But some organizations look past headaches. We've seen that. The whole, I can fix them. If we just get him in the building. If we just get him in the building, we can sell him on our team culture. Meanwhile, the team culture we're talking about is the Washington Wizards. Right? The team culture we're talking about is the recent Utah Jazz. Not great. Not great. So, yeah, you can try and get him into the building. You can try and sell him on this. But let the buyer beware. Roll the dice. Take your chances.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of haircutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have our resident Knicks, Yankees, Giants fan, Daniel Butler. Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, thank you, boys. Thank you. I got the best present I've gotten since June of 94 when the Rangers won it.
Oh, so, yeah, you know. That one will last a lifetime, right?
Yep. this one might too, but I'll take it for now.
Well, we start you off with this. You know, for the first time in your 42-year-old life, the New York Knicks are NBA champions. Tell us, what was it like watching Game 5, and how did you celebrate?
It was very emotional. The whole run was a little like an out-of-body experience because they played so well, and then the comebacks in Game 3. But it was a lot of fun. We were actually out celebrating my mother's birthday. She turned 70 on June 11th. So we were out in Greenport, Long Island, with a bunch of people watching the game. And it started off a little weird because it was a big group of us. We were half at a table, half not. You got one TV was like 20 seconds behind the other. And in my head, I'm like, this isn't good. But then eventually when it got to like second half, everybody just kind of hung around one TV. And as it was going, the momentum started. I said, this is good. This is how it's going to be. Like, we're going to win it now.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, because once they got their lead in the fourth quarter, you could almost see it, you know, kind of on the faces of the Spurs. They couldn't hold the lead. They were passing the ball. Nobody wanted to take the shot, and you know, Jalen popping off.
He really did, and the Spurs are a very good young team. But like, you could just tell they're not ready for prime time yet. Their finals was beating the Thunder, so like as good and physical as they played, you knew if the Knicks in a close game, the Knicks were going to come out on top.
Yeah, they're not ready for a lot. They have a lot. I think they have a lot to work on, especially professionalism. But despite winning the NBA championship, the Knicks only had the lead for 24% of the time during the NBA Finals. So at what point did you realize, wow, the Knicks are going to win the NBA championship?
I mean, in actuality, after the comeback in Game Four, like you don't want to start counting your chickens. It was almost like last year after Game One when we lost the Pacers and the Halliburton shot and that comeback, where you just like, oh, it's only one game, we'll be okay. In the back of your mind, you knew, no, we were dead. And I think that's what it was in this series. And like you said, once the Knicks took the lead, I had no doubt that we were gonna finish it.
Yeah.
As bad as we shot in the first half, and we were still in the game, I said, this is gonna be okay. And knowing you had Game Six in your back pocket, I was extremely confident that if we didn't wrap it up in five, which I knew we would, six, we would have it.
Yeah. It just didn't matter. You know, it just didn't matter. They had double digit leads in every single game, and it didn't matter. You know,
right.
It just absolutely didn't matter. They knew how to blow a lead. They knew how to lose a game. You know,
they knew how to lose a game.
And that's,
they found ways to lose.
Sometimes that's what it is, right? It's like it's not knowing how to win a game; it's knowing not how to lose a game. And they did everything to lose games. So, Danny, out of all the Knicks teams over the last 53 years, this is the team that wins the title. Not the Melo team, not the Ewing teams, not the Starkses, the Oakleys, the Marburys, the Stoudemires, the Johnsons, the Sprewells, the Houstons. Riley's a coach. Wilkins is a coach. Woods is a coach. None of those. Tibbs is a coach. None of those guys can get it done. But this team wins the championship. So now, does this become your favorite Knicks team of all time? Like, how does this work?
I mean, I think it has to. Just in terms of pure basketball, the way they played, like we weren't around for the late 60s, early 70s teams with Clyde and Willis and those guys. But when you hear about those teams, the way they moved the ball, the way they played defense, and the way they carried, you know, that relied on one another, I think this team, and Clyde had said it during this run, that this team reminds him of those old teams. Like, when you're young, you have a favorite player. Ewing's always been my favorite player. Like, I'm always going to love those guys. But just as a team, I mean, this team was special.
Okay, so Brunson can't steal that Ewing thing from you. I mean, he can't become the king of New York.
Oh, well, he's the king of New York right now. Like, and for younger kids, he's gonna surpass Ewing. But, I mean, I lived and died, and mostly died with Patrick Ewing. You know, for 7 feet from Georgetown, number 33, co-captain Patrick Ewing. But, so, I mean, Pat's always going to be my guy. And watching those guys, I think what also made it special is those old Knicks you mentioned. A lot of them are there for this run.
Wild,
and you just felt it, like when they showed Ewing smiling, and before OG hit the last free throw, they're showing Oakley in the crowd, and I'm just screaming, "Oak, you can't go to the Garden!" But I just, because you haven't seen him, I just started yelling at the bar, "Oak!" You know, so just that the those former Knicks really bought into this team really made it more special.
It makes you wonder, you know, the parade is Thursday. It's technically not in Madison Square Garden. Is Oakley going to show up to this thing? Like, I would love to see that.
Yeah, he might be like Mr. T trying to fight Rocky. He'll go after Dolan, you know, when they're doing the statue, you know. But it would be great if
Oakley... to take him down. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It'd be great to see if Oakley was there at some capacity.
It would be great. You know, it definitely... this team definitely... And this culture, this... front office with Leon Rose, they've definitely welcomed a lot of the former Nick Foll back in. But let's move over to Jalen Brunson. So Becky Hammon has been quoted saying the smallest player on your team can't be your best player. So did Brunson prove her wrong, or were there other factors that played into Brunson winning Finals MVP and the Knicks winning this championship?
Well, I mean, of course there are other factors, but I mean, Brunson's a winner. He never ceases to amaze me, but I'm amazed, if that makes any sense. This guy is such a winner. He overcomes all these obstacles. For a guy his size, the way he's better because he's only 6'1", 6'2". Because the way he's uses his footwork, he manipulates angles. If he was 6'6", he wouldn't have to do that, and he wouldn't be as good. I think that chip on his shoulder has made him the player that he is. And I think Becky Hammon also, like, you know, small players have won it before. Like, you need a team behind you. Like, you know, Isaiah Thomas has done it. Small guys have done it before. It's just in this league, it's so superstar driven that we kind of take our eye off the team aspect.
He's the same height as Steph Curry. He's billed as the same height as Steph Curry.
Right. So, yeah, and Steph Curry is the greatest shooter we've ever seen, so that's why he's able to carry a team. And the way Brunson can use his footwork to make big guys look small, it's incredible.
So as a quick aside, though, like Brunson was a second-round pick. Jokic was a second-round pick. Who is the greatest, in your opinion, who is the greatest modern second-round pick of all time?
I mean, I guess Jokic, if you just look at the pure numbers, I mean, Jokic is done. You know, he looks like Will Chamberlain sometimes.
His numbers are stupid.
With his numbers. But you know, Brunson's just been a winner. He won in high school. He won twice in college. And listen, I'm a big East guy, so I like Villanova. Like, I guess I was rooting for those guys when they played. And I watched Brunson, and I liked them. And when the Knicks got him, I was excited. But to say I thought he was going to turn into a superstar, I'd be lying. But I said, this guy's going to be a very good point guard. I would say right now he's a three option. He could turn into a two, and if he gets someone else. But he proved everybody wrong, and he turned into the one option.
It's just so wild. I think it's so wild. Because you had Stephon Marbury, who I thought was, like, all-worldly. I know they had Derrick Rose at the end of his career. But, I mean, just so many different point guards have walked through that door.
Ben Hardaway, Steve Francis, Jeremy Lin.
Marty Collins, Tony Douglas.
Mark Jackson, Harper.
Yeah. But if you look, you talk about the Ewing and those teams, that's what Ewing needed his whole career. Like Starks was a good player, Oakley, Mason, they were talented. If you put Jalen Brunson on those mid-90s teams, they win multiple championships. Like, that's what Patrick Ewing needed his whole life, was a guy like Jalen Brunson. It's just,
and
you know,
not break his wrist.
And not break his wrist, yeah. Andrew Lang, I still write angry letters to him.
That's good. We throw shit at his door.
So, over to the also-rans, over to the second-best team. There's an assumption out there that the Spurs have this young elite talent on their team, that they'll get back to the NBA Finals and win multiple championships. However, the world got an up-close look at the Spurs star Victor Wembanyama over the last few months and witnessed a player commit several flagrant fouls, miss clutch shots down the stretch, make critical mistakes, and just showed a lack of class, accountability, and sportsmanship after the Knicks won. So, did Wemby hurt his image during this finals run?
Oh, I think 100%. No, but I think he got exposed as, like, yes, we've never seen a 7'5" guy move like that and shoot like that. But, and he's a defensive force because, you know, you can't get the ball into the, you know, you can't drive when he's there. But I don't think he's that good. Watching him in the OKC series and here, like, yeah, he's good and he's a freak. I don't think he's that good. And besides that point, like, the immaturity and the dirtiness, he's a dirty player. Like, I think there's enough evidence to say he's a dirty player. And listen, he's skinny. He probably gets beat up a lot, and I'm sure it frustrated him. But, I mean, the things we've seen, and, you know, not talking to the media, not shaking the Knicks' hands, he really made a fool of himself. And I think the NBA might want to rethink, you know, him being the next face. Because it was obvious that's what they were pushing because of, you know, the no flagrant calls. They were scared to death that he was going to get suspended a game.
Yep.
But, you know, he really, his image really is, you know, it's torn. He's young. He can come back and he can do a lot. And he's going to have to do a lot, both on the court and off the court, to help his image.
I'm not sure we've ever seen a guy go from hero to villain in one series so dramatically, right? You had this guy that they were trying to paint as the alien. He's unbelievable, incredible, incredible ability, incredible talent. He's a new face of the league, to like, get this guy off the TV.
Yeah.
this guy off the TV.
He went from Dirk to Rudy Gobert in a series.
Oh, yeah, he really did. He really did. And, like, watching the OKC series, I didn't want to root for either team, because as a Knicks fan, I think that's bad luck if you want to play one team or the other. But, like, watching his physicality there, and in my head, like, kind of rooting for it because I wanted both teams to be a little beat up. But in the back of my head, I'm like, this guy's kind of dirty. And then watching it, rooting against him, it was infuriating, some of the stuff he was doing.
It also makes you wonder, you know, like, okay, Anthony Edwards wasn't it. Victor Wembanyama isn't it. Who's next? You know, SGA is boring as fuck, so it's not going to be him. Like, who is it?
Like, Jalen.
Well, I mean, for the next couple of years, it could be Jalen. I mean, And he's still going to have his detractors no matter what. Like, if we don't repeat, I'm sure they're going to be, oh, see, I told you, you know, he can't. I told you he couldn't repeat, but, you know. But
I don't know. I think, you know, out of all the things I've heard the last couple of days, I haven't heard anybody talking about repeat. And I think that's great. They're just enjoying this.
Oh, no, 100%. I just mean the talking heads. Cause, like, to me, Brunson reminds me of Eli Manning in terms of, he can have a bad three quarters and not look good and make some, you know, bad turnovers, stupid passes. But you know, in the fourth quarter, he doesn't care. He's a gamer. He's gonna keep on slinging, and that's what he does.
So you mentioned it already, right? We're talking. Nobody's talking about back to back because in the past 8 years, no one's done it, right? It has not been a thing. But what do the Knicks have to do, in your opinion, to be that team that bucks the trend and goes back to back?
I mean, it's going to be hard because the East was very down this year and we took advantage of it, but we took advantage of it historically where we just ran through it and we're beating teams by astronomical numbers. I mean, this team is good enough and still young enough that, yeah, you can run it back. You could run it back the same roster and, you know, you have a legitimate chance of getting to the finals or winning it again. But I do think they have, like, it seems cold-hearted to, you know, the parade hasn't happened yet and you're thinking about making moves. But a guy like Cat changes game, especially in the playoffs, and we let the game run through him, and he really played great, and he facilitated the offense and gave Brunson a little bit of a break. Now, he had his hands full with Wemby. He had a good first two games. The last three were not great. But a guy like Cat, his trade value is never going to be higher than it is now. You know, you hate to break up the Villanova boys, but, you know, Hart and Bridges, when you win a championship, your value goes up. And Leon Rose is very smart, and there are moves we have, whether it's Giannis or something else. It's just, do you want to break these guys up? What do you want to, you know, they're still talented and young enough. You could run it back one more year and give it another shot.
The bottom line is that if you get to the finals next year or you get to the conference finals next year, you're not going to face a team that's going to give you back 20-point leads. It's just not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen where you're going to face a team that's going to give you back multiple 20-point leads. I don't care if it's the Nuggets. I don't care if it's the Heat. I don't care if it's the 76ers. I don't care what team it is. You're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, not taking anything away from the Knicks because they deserved it. They earned it. It was their year. That's it. You know, that was the kind of the motto we've had on the show for the last couple of weeks, that this is it. Like, this is it. The Ducks have all lined up in a row. You've knocked off all the teams you were supposed to knock off. You're going up against a Spurs team that's young, hasn't paid its dues yet. Like, it all lined up perfectly for it. And they got it. There's no team that deserved it more this year. But, you know, it changes. The narrative changes next year. And like you said, I think they have some assets, and I think they've got to make sure they maximize what they can get back for them and capitalize on where they lacked in probably shooting and probably, you know, secondary defensive and rebounding, right? I don't think Mitch Robinson's the answer. And as great as Jose Alvarado is, he can't be the backup guard. Like, you've got to have another guard out there that can sling it and that can really back up Jalen and help him out.
Right, but the one thing with this, like, obviously there might be a little bit of a championship hangover. You see it a lot. But this team, the biggest thing that's ingrained in them, and partly through Thibodeau, who, and Mike Brown did a great job, and we're not winning without Mike Brown, but I think Thibodeau laid the foundation, almost like a Buck Showalter, a Buck to Joe Torre type of thing. It's hard work, and it's defense, and it's never stopping. And that's part of the reason why the Spurs, for a young team, had such a hard time with the Knicks, because you can never get comfortable.
Couldn't put them away.
Yeah, they don't quit. They don't quit. They're tenacious. They don't stop coming after you.
Nope. And that's what I've been saying for the past few weeks. Like, Mike Brown was the perfect coach for this team right now, but Tom Thibodeau definitely laid the foundation. Tibbs doesn't win this championship. I believe that wholeheartedly. That even if they get there, just the way he runs his teams, I don't think, if Tibbs was the coach, that he would have delivered it. So it was a smart move, in my opinion, to go with a guy like Mike Brown, who's exercised some demons on his own.
It was. And Brown, number one, he was willing to let the offense run through Cat a little bit, just stop having Cat stand on the outside, you know, shooting threes. But the big thing you know, he trusted his bench. Now, he had a better bench than Tibbs did last year, but also last year, Tibbs could have used Shamet more, and all we know this, but I think we could have got there with Tibbs, maybe even win it. But the important thing, we're not sweeping the Sixers and the Cavs with Tibbs. It just wasn't the way Tibbs' teams play basketball. And if you look at a guy like OG, who needed short series because he had early in the playoffs, he had the bum hamstring, and he's able to get so much rest that if Tibbs is a coach and you're going 6-7 and fighting for every inch, maybe OG doesn't have enough in that hamstring for that tip in that you're going to see for the rest of your life, that great highlight in game four. You know, if you're playing 7 games, maybe he doesn't do that, you know? So Mike Brown deserves a lot, if not all the credit.
Now, Tibbs in his 7-man rotation, that's not happening.
No.
Not even close. But speaking of not even close, your night's not even close to done, Danny, because you got some celebrating to do. It's your birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you very much. 42, Mariano Rivera, me and Mo.
That's right. And if you want to be the newest member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide our DMs on IG at Faderout Podcast. Drop us a line at X at Faderout DNZ. And you can join us on the In Route. Danny Butler, happy birthday. Enjoy it. What do you got going on at Tubby? And where are you going to be so they can buy you a drink tonight?
I might just take it easy and watch, you know, maybe have a few libations on my couch and watch some Nick highlights and maybe cry a little bit, you know. But because there's been a lot of happy tears the last couple of days, which after years of tears of frustration with this team, so it's nice to cry happy tears. But things at Tubby Hook are going great. 207th and Broadway. Come down and see us. I'm there Monday through Friday days, but please come anytime. We got karaoke on Thursdays, trivia Tuesdays. We'll be packed for the World Cup. We'll have the sound on, especially Friday for Team USA. We have Irish music every Sunday, live Irish session. So please stop by and see us.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Deke?
No.
That would be Freddie Anderson. Freddie Anderson. So, yeah. 13 goals against after a 1-1-2 goals against average. That'll do it. That'll absolutely do it. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got the alien, the center / forward on the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama. The big fondue. Stunk it up on the biggest stage. Missed free throws. Threw the ball out of bounds, missed players, tried to hurt players. Bad look for the future face of the league. I think Victor Wembanyama had a really, really bad 2 weeks to his image and his ego. Victor Wembanyama, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Jason Williams, the guard from Duke. Former Duke star saying it's okay to not shake hands with an opponent after a tightly contested series. That's for children. We're adults. This is a professional league. Spoken like a true Blue Devil, Jason. Jason Williams, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, New York Knicks fans. Listen, I get it. 53 years is a long time. But destroying multiple vehicles, setting school buses on fire, 63 arrests. Let's have a peaceful and pleasant parade on Thursday. New York Knicks fans, you again on My Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I thought the big fondue was Carmine from Laverne and Shirley. Oh, maybe I was wrong about that. But I got to start. I got to start with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Ooh.
You took it to Carolina. You weathered their storm, no pun intended, in the beginning of the series. And then just let him hang around. Let him hang around. Four-goal game after four-goal game after four-goal game after four-goal. Eventually, these just start adding up. Torts doesn't make the move to Aiden Hill. He sticks with his guy, Carter Hart. Made an amazing diving save in Game 6, but he let two in. And then an empty netter for the kill shot, giving Carolina the win and the Stanley Cup. And then on top of that, you create even more chaos by only having Torts sign a short-term contract until June 30th, and then you relieve him of his duty 2 weeks early. So you're going coach hunting yet again. Are they just... what are they doing? I would just like to know, what the hell is the organizational structure like in the Golden Knights system, right? You had Torts, Bruce Cassidy, Gerard Gallant. You've had, I believe, five head coaches since they've come into the league. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. Vegas Golden Knights, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I gotta go with the New York Mets. Taking 2 out of 3 from the Braves, winning 10 of their last 16, things are looking up. Things are looking good. Like, all of a sudden, you start winning some games. You start closing that gap a little bit on your record. You're starting to get an inch a little bit closer to the Marlins in fourth place. 12-0 against the Reds. And then before you can blink tonight, it's 4-0. So congratulations, guys. You were down 16-0 in the past two games. Now it's currently 5-3. But this pitching staff is a joke. You brought in Tobias Myers because, oh, he's familiar with the pitching lab, right? Oh, this is going to be a great... this is a coup. You acquired this guy with Freddy Peralta, who's just finally becoming good again. He's not great. He's just merely good. And then you bring in this guy. He's really going to be the linchpin of this because he's a swing guy. Oh, they're swinging. Oh, they're fucking swinging. 1 1/3 innings, 7 runs. Thanks for coming, Tobias. Jesus. This experiment, this terrible year, just will not end fast enough for the New York Mets. New York Mets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the men's Spanish national team for the World Cup. 1-1 to Cape Verde? Or are we kidding here?
Wait.
Ooh.
Spain.
Wasn't it? It was 1-1 or 0-0.
Oh, 0-0. It's even better.
They score
against Cape Verde. Meanwhile,
Cape Verde was running through this.
Cape Verde's like, Cape Verde's parking the bus, parking the tank, parking anything in front of that net. 0-0. Meanwhile, you look at Germany, 7-1 against Curacao. They took care of business. They did what they were supposed to do. Sweden, 5-1 against Tunisia. They did what they were supposed to do. Like, the big teams, right? These big powerhouses that have played so far did what they were supposed to do.
I'm not mistaken, Yamal didn't even play.
He did not play until the last 20 minutes. And then after the match, the coach is saying that, the Cape Verde team is clearly inferior. Clearly inferior.
Kenny Atkins over there?
What are we talking about here? We were leading for 76% of the match. Yes, we were.
I heard that they completed like over 700 passes, something stupid like that.
Yeah, no. And 27 shots. They took 27 shots. And yet, we don't talk about that, right? What do we look at? We look at the score. It's not the shots. It's the score. And yeah, the mighty Spain. Nothing against Cape Verde, against an also-ran, against a team that is lucky to be there. And they'll probably tell you that. You got to figure some shit out here. They're not in danger of missing out on the knockout stage just because they'll right the ship, but that's a terrible showing on the biggest stage of them all. Spanish men's national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Rob Podcast and vote and vote and vote and vote and for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.